众朋友们，大家好，今天是4月30号，星期四，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国的新冠病毒确诊病例已经超过100万。特朗普总统表示说，这是因为美国对病毒的检测数量和质量都领先全球。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
美国新型冠状病毒的确诊人数在4月28号突破了100万人，而在4月29号星期三，确诊人数现在是104万人，而死亡人数已经逼近6万人。特朗普总统在28号的时候在白宫表示，美国的病毒检测数量以及质量都是全世界最好的，超过了全世界加起来的总和。我们来看一下特朗普总统在白宫是怎么说的。
We are way ahead on testing. We are the best in the world on testing. We've tested much more than anybody else.times two, or every country combined. We've tested more than every country combined, and they keep talking about South Korea, and I'm very friendly, as you know, with President Moon, who just had a great victory, a new victory, as we're very happy about. But he will tell you how well the United States has done on testing, and he told me that very strongly. The quality of our test is the best, and the number is the best. Now, with all of that being said, we will be going...to an even higher number, and it goes up exponentially, and I've told you that.
那特朗普总统星期二晚上呢，就在推特上推文强调说，今天美国的确诊病例之所以突破100万，是因为检测多。特朗普总统推文是这样说的，他说，美国新冠病毒确诊人数达到100万的唯一原因，是因为我们的检测比其他的世界各国好得太多，其他国家在检测方面比我们落后非常多，所以他们的确诊人数才那么的少。特朗普总统星期二在白宫会见小型企业主的时候还说呢，冠状病毒的病例在美国将会降到零病例。我们看一下特朗普总统在白宫是怎么说的。
Well, it will go down to zero ultimately. And you have to understand, when it comes to cases, we do much more testing than anybody else. So we could go to some of these other countries, you know, as an example, China. If you test, you're going to show many more cases. So we're testing, we're doing more testing than any other country in the world by far, which we just discussed over in the Oval Office.So we're going to show more cases because we're doing much, much more testing, double anybody else. Somebody said if you add everybody else combined, that would be a number. And it will be at the appropriate time, it will be down to zero, like we said.
不过针对特朗普总统零病例的说法呢，美国过敏与传染病研究所所长佛契博士则是表示说，今天新冠病毒不但不会消失不见，甚至呢可能会在美国一直存在下去。我们看一下佛契博士在星期二的时候接受媒体采访是怎么说的。
If we are unsuccessful or prematurely try to open up and we have additional outbreaks that are out of control, it could be much more than that. It could be a rebound to get us right back in the same boat that we were in a few weeks ago.So that's why we've really got to be careful and very circumspect as we go from a lockdown to a gradual rolling re-entry into some sort of normality. So it's not going to disappear from the planet, which means as we get into next season, in my mind, it's inevitable that we will have a return of the virus, or maybe it never even went away. When it does...How we handle it will determine our fate. If by that time we have put into place all of the countermeasures that you need to address this, we should do reasonably well. If we don't do that successfully, we could be in for a bad fall and a bad winter.
而许多的肉品处理厂因为这个员工呢爆发了群聚的新冠病毒感染，不得已而关闭了工厂。那么这也引发了接下来可能会造成肉品短缺的担忧。特朗普总统在星期二的晚上签署了行政命令，来要求确保肉类的供应无缺。那在行政命令是这样说的，这个行政命令名字叫做依据国防生产法，因应新冠疫情造成的国家危机下的粮食供应链来源之行政命令，当中呢说，应本令赋予之权，农业部长应该采取适当的行动，确保肉类以及鸡类的处理商在符合美国疾病预防与管制中心还有职业安全以及健康署的指导方针之下继续运作，应本令赋予之权，在符合国防生产法101款B项的标准之下，农业部长可以指认额外的粮食供应链的来源。不过呢，我们知道对很多的美国的这个肉品加工厂 厂，包括史密斯菲尔德、卡尔吉利尔、泰森等等美国大型的肉类处理厂呢，都已经因为厂中的员工爆发了新冠病毒的群聚感染而关闭了大约20间的美国境内的工厂。因为在那么多员工生病的情况之下呢，在厂内很难或者是也不可能保持所谓的社交距离来避免更多人进行感染。那路透社的报道呢，有些农场主还认为特朗普总统签了这个行政命令是做得太少也来得太晚了，因为很多的猪只已经被安乐死了。而猪品的这个肉品的包装工业的工会也说，这个行政命令可能会致工人的生命跟健康暴露于风险之下。此外呢，根据美国移民局还有美国农业部历年来的统计，肉品加工业当中的工人大概有1/4以上都是无证的移民。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫前的报道。
美国两党多名重量级议员致函国务卿蓬佩奥，敦促他全面执行香港人权与民主法案，并且在国务院即将提交给国会的报告中全面反映出香港最近的事态发展。来看报道。
多名美国国会两党重量级参众两院议员星期二共同敦促美国国务卿蓬佩奥全面执行香港人权与民主法案。他们还表示，在提交给国会的报告中还应列举美国为应对这种不断恶化的局势需采取的具体行动。共同签署这封信函的包括美国国会及行政当局中国委员会共同主席共和党参议员卢比奥，以及委员会主席民主党众议员麦戈文，长期关注中国人权事务的共和党议员史密斯，众议院外交事务委员会主席恩格尔，以及首席共和党人麦考尔，还有参议院外交关系委员会主席李施和首席民主党人梅嫩德斯等重量级议员。议员们在信中说，尽管新冠疫情阻碍了引起全世界关注的民主抗议，但是香港的局势在最近几个月里持续恶化。香港警方此前逮捕了大约15名香港民主派主要活动人士，其中包括民主党创党主席李柱铭、前法律界立法会委员吴霭仪以及壹传媒创办人李志英等。信中接着说，香港的未来对美国和国际社会非常重要，如果不能解决北京为侵蚀香港自治所做的努力，将会破坏香港人民的自由和人权。香港作为美国伙伴所发挥的宝贵作用，以及香港在国际经济中的独特作用。议员们还表示，美国必须在应对北京对香港自治的威胁方面发挥领导作用。特朗普总统去年11月签署了《香港人权与民主法案》，使之成为法律。法案生效后，国务卿需向国会提交报告，审视香港是否仍然有足够的自治权，享受美国给予的特殊待遇，包括继续被视为独立关税区等。议员们希望提交给国会的报告将包含对香港自治的全面、清晰和准确的评估。美国之音新闻报道。
正当美中两国就新冠病毒相互指责的时候，中国声称美国的一艘军舰非法闯入了西沙群岛的中国领海，而美军则表示美国将继续依照国际法航行并且行动。我们来看美国之音记者李宝的报道。
中国国防部南部战区新闻发言人发表声明说，美国海军巴里号导弹驱逐舰未经允许非法闯入西沙领海，南部战区组织海空兵力全程跟踪监视并予以警告驱离。针对中国军方的声明，美国国防部发言人伊斯特伯恩中校在回应美国之音查询的时候说，美国将在国际法所允许的任何地方继续飞行、航行和活动。巴里号或称贝瑞号导弹驱逐舰是常驻日本横须贺美国军港、近来在西太平洋海域十分活跃的一艘伯克级驱逐舰。这艘军舰在过去3个星期里两度穿越台湾海峡。美国海军在发布相关消息时说，将贝瑞号导弹驱逐舰部署在第7舰队作战区域的前沿，是为了支持印太地区的安全与稳定。上星期五，五角大楼发言人霍夫曼说，如果美国海军不去南中国海行动，中国在那里的活动会更加嚣张。
I think the operating assumption would have to be that they would likely be more aggressive in their efforts to expand their geographic and naval presence in the region if weren't there. I also think that the other important aspect is it's for our partners and allies in the region to see that we are committed.
上星期， 美国国务卿蓬佩奥指责中国当局利用全世界专注于应对新冠疫情的时机，对台湾军事施压，并胁迫他在南中国海的周边邻国，甚至还撞沉一艘越南渔船。美国强烈反对中国的霸凌行为。美国之音记者李宝，华盛顿报道。
最近美军的战机在纽约和其他城市的上空进行了特别的表演，向应对新冠病毒疫情的医疗工作者致敬。来看报道。
几十年来，海军的蓝天使和空军的雷鸟编队以其特技飞行的翻转回环和滚动吸引了观赏者。他们的喷气式战斗机是美国力量的超音速象征，其型号跟在叙利亚和阿富汗前线作战的军机是相同的。现在蓝天使和雷鸟多年来首次联合行动，携手呈现了名为美国强大行动的飞行表演，表达对医护人员和急救人员的敬意。我们看到的是布鲁尔上尉驾驶的雷鸟三号，就是领航战机右侧的首架战机。
What I'm thinking when I'm doing these flyovers is just really thank you. You know, you think a lot of times, people thank us when, you know, we come back from a deployment because we're a frontline fighter, for the nation. Here, I think of it the exact same way. They're doing exactly the same thing. They are the frontline fighter against this invisible enemy.
他们的第一个目的地就是受新冠病毒打击最严重的城市纽约。
So maybe by doing this, maybe we can hopefully send a message of, we can do this together and you're not alone.
戴维·瑞安从新泽西州隔着哈德逊河观看对岸的飞行表演。
Brings out the spirit of the country and to help all the healthcare workers just give them something to think about everybody's thinking about them.And they're really appreciated.
Hands down, I'll be thinking about my brother-in-law, who's a first responder in Arizona. My hat's off to them all the time because what they do and they experience and what they see every single day, I know would be really rough for me to do.
战机特技飞行员们计划在未来几天里为全国各地，包括首都华盛顿的医护人员表演更多的双重三角编队飞行，向他们致敬。美国之音记者巴布，华盛顿报道。
纽约市的一个游戏公司最近开发了一款以美国的顶尖传染病学家福奇医生而命名的免费游戏，它也是一个筹款的活动，款项将捐给纽约市的医院。
这是大流行病时代的电子游戏，游戏里的数码传奇英雄除了美国流行病专家安东尼·福奇博士外不做第二人想。这位79岁的新冠病毒特别工作小组成员被重新塑造成一个新星系的守护者。
He's this like cyberpunk superhero that can blast lasers out of his eyes, kind of like an X-Men Superman type.
在福气的复仇游戏中，玩家摧毁病毒，同时培养良好的健康和社交隔离的习惯。游戏是纽约客亚历克斯·帕特森的创意。
During the game.Icons drop from the top of the screen. Good ones are things like hand washing, hand sanitizer, solo meditation. You capture those to earn more life in the game. And then there are bad things that you need to shoot, like crowds, going to the club, stadiums.
这个游戏是一个叫做击败病毒的线上筹款活动的一部分。帕特森和他的打败炸弹创业公司希望筹集到$25,000，通过纽约市的联合保健系统来支援当地的公立医院。
You're always looking for the silver lining as a startup entrepreneur to try to make the best of the situation.
福气的复仇游戏为了呼应病毒的名字2019冠状病毒病，因此有19个等级。即将举行的在线竞赛将奖励顶级玩家，奖品是一个高级耳机。帕特森说，玩游戏可以发泄情绪。
Because you get to sort of mash the keys on your keyboard and blast the coronavirus, this thing that you can't see, you can't smell, you can't touch, that we're all shuttered indoors because of.
这是报复当前全民公敌的一个方法。美国之音记者郑蒂娜，纽约报道。
还在使用旧版的手机应用程序吗？美国之音新版应用程序上线了，界面更友好，内容更丰富，支持苹果和安卓客户端，适用于手机及各类平板电脑。旧版程序于1月15日正式下线，快去免费下载新版本吧。
新冠疫情让许多小商业遭受了严重的打击，不过许多业主也在灵活应变，以度过难关。位于华盛顿特区的罗盘咖啡就将设备改造，开始生产消毒洗手液。我们来看美国之音记者卡拉和王平的报道。
Michael and I actually became friends in the Marines. We were infantry platoon commanders, and people don't really know this, but the military runs on coffee.
We were just drinking, military coffee in Afghanistan, and when we came back from deployment, we're both from Washington, D.C., and we said, hey, you know, it'd be fun to start a coffee roasting business together. And that was about 6 years ago, and now we have 12 locations in D.C.
We have thousands of customers who come in each day. COVID-19 has been devastating. We've had to temporarily close half of our cafes. We had to put a lot of those plans on hold. We had to pause construction. We had to unfortunately lay off a significant number of our team.
Business is down about 80% right now. The spring is a great season for us. Normally, it's our customers come in, we know their names, they're coming in to get a cup of coffee, and that's gone right now.
What's the next step? What's the path forward? How do we make sure that there's still Compass Coffee for when COVID-19 passes, we can rebuild?If you look around, this is where we bottle all of the syrup,the vanilla syrup, the chocolate syrup, the chai syrup that goes into the drinks that we serve in our cafes. So here we are, we're surrounded by all of this equipment. It's pretty cool that we're repurposing it to make sanitizer.
There was a huge shortage here in Washington, D.C., and there was literally nobody making it. And the D.C. mayor, Mayor Bowser, reached out to us, and she actually asked if we could repurpose some of our equipment to make hand sanitizer for the D.C. government. So our first major order was 1,000 gallons of sanitizer that we delivered to the D.C. government.
It's actually transferable. In a lot of ways, production, no matter what you're producing,follows the same key processes. But the WHO, the World Health Organization, has actually published a guide for local producers to make hand sanitizer, which has been very helpful in learning how to make it correctly.
We started making hand sanitizer about March 15th. Every day we make about 2,400 bottles, and basically at the end of the day, that's gone. It's already on a truck, and it's going to our customers. We've bought some new equipment, and we're buying even more. We have a new labeling machine coming, which is very exciting. We're hoping that it'll be a profitable endeavor here in a few months as sales continue to grow. Hand sanitizer is 100% keeping Compass afloat. Before this, we had 190 employees.We've had to lay off 80% of people, so we're down to a team of 39 people. And hand sanitizer is about a third to a half of that. And so every day, this is making a huge impact on our company and on Washington, D.C.
At a personal level, having something to accomplish every day, to wake up, get dressed, and come to work, is very meaningful. But it's even more meaningful to be doing it to support your neighbors, support the healthcare.Staff who are in hospitals keeping people as healthy as they can, keeping people alive. So it feels very rewarding. And I think looking back on this time in the future, we'll know that we did our part for our community.
Like so many other businesses, we've completely had to change our plans, and we've completely had to modify the way that we think about what we do and the role that we play in the community. That's why we're making sanitizer. We're modifying our model to be much more focused on to-go.Yesterday morning, we launched delivery. It's really about the team finding a way to meet our customers where they are, solve problems, and still carry out our mission of making people's days better.
Without a doubt, we're 100% going to survive.
接下来我们再一起去看一看，同样是小商业，华盛顿特区附近的一家书店的两位华人业主如何在危机中保持乐观。他们除了设法获得政府的资助，还在探索新的经营方式。
我有一个梦，就是说我们想交朋友，很多人都会有一个开一个小咖啡馆的梦嘛，然后开书店吧，也是一种有情怀的事情。
上面是一个 cafe， 楼下是一个 open space， 你可以 host 自己的 event。 那 Barnes & Noble 都在倒闭，那凭什么我们说一个小书店我们可以自己靠卖书来存活下去？不太可能，对吧？最确定的一件事情就是以食养书，就是靠做食物啊，做吃的。
如果说不是碰到了就是现在这个疫情的这样一个影响的话，其实我们的经营状况是越来越好的。
到三月份的时候，我们期待应该是回暖的，但是反而进入了一个更糟糕的一个寒冬。整条街，这条是 Main Street 嘛，主街的话其实正常是很热闹的。然后我们这条 Main Street 上呢，就说是各种各样的小型企业都有，比如说那个修鞋的店，那基本上这个影响是非常非常大的。
牌子好看吧？
首先是那个 PPP 的 program 是肯定申请了，
可以，
就那个 Paycheck Protection Program， 就是如果你拿去付的是像员工的 payroll 或者是这些什么 healthcare 啊之类的，它是可能是可以不用还的嘛。当时一下出来的时候是看到一个链接就点进去申请了再说，对，马里兰政府当时发的那个也申请了。
樊登书店华盛顿一号店的店里面给大家做这一场美食的直播，所有进来的
疫情当前的时候，就是大家的心里面都有很多焦虑跟恐惧吧。那有些人可能就是会抱怨啊，对吗？会逃避啊，这是很正常的，对吗？那有些人就可能化压力为动力去做这个事情。书店的自救就是我们书店开始了做一个美食团购。
今天我们会现场给大家看哈，这个鳗鱼真的是非常好，
对，
这个酱汁真的是非常好。
这个我
以我们书店为圆心，30迈以内的一个辐射范围。
今天呢，我们会三个人一起吃，所以我们做的量呢，1块钱一个哈。
限购我们。
如果什么都不做的话，4、5月可能差不多了，就估计就有点难了，因为真的是很难。但是我们现在的话，这个线上啊，包括我们这些外卖的平台自己去开放啊，那如果真的要到8月15的话也可以吧。
天灾自然灾害总是会过去的，这个你50年也好100年也好爆发一次总得要过去，所以我觉得人嘛，你还是要积极乐观的去看它。
在新冠疫情的阴影之下，美国的失业率不断攀升，而失去了工作的外籍劳工如果不在短时间内找到新的雇主，就有可能面临被遣返的危险。我们来看美国之音记者文浩的报道。
新冠疫情在美国爆发后，低迷的经济导致许多外籍劳工被企业裁员。法律规定，这些劳工除非找到新雇主，否则将失去在美国的合法身份，而且必须在60天内离开美国。但现今各国大多处于封闭状态，且航班禁飞，这让许多外籍劳工面临无处可去的困境。外籍劳工如果在美国非法滞留太久，有可能在长达10年内都无法再次入境美国。而如果在没有合法身份的情况下继续工作，一旦被发现，将立刻被遣返。疫情爆发后，美国移民局迟迟没有延长60天的缓冲期，让外籍劳工和他们的律师没有足够的时间做出调整。就此，美国移民律师协会已经将移民局告上了法庭，要求他们立刻颁布新政策。有移民律师表示，美国政坛在移民问题上的分歧导致新政策出台缓慢。
Right now, I don't think we're going to see any new laws because we have a very divided country when it comes to immigration. So I don't, our president is not pro-immigration, even legal immigration. We have members of Congress who are, we have members of Congress who aren't. It's a hard thing.
这位移民律师还表示，新政策出台的程序极其繁琐，有时会花上长达几年的时间，所以在短期内看到新政策出台的可能性极其渺茫。 此外，美国行政当局还颁布了总统令，禁止一些绿卡的办理，并表示可能会在移民问题上出台更多限制措施。有专家表示，现在失业率居高不下，限制外国人来到美国工作有一定道理，但从长远来看，美国的经济复苏和增长都离不开移民。
Big portion of our farm workers come on temporary visas, and right now it's really important for them to be able to grow and harvest the crops that keep all of us fed. So there are some contradictory arguments around temporary workers. Over the longer term, the United States will rely on immigration to continue to grow its economy. Right now, the only thing that keeps our workforce growing, our working age population growing, is immigration. It's immigrants and their children.Lacking that, we would actually see our working age population to decline.
以上是美国之音记者文浩发自华盛顿的报道。
纽约大学的一位副教授呼吁全世界的社会科学家一起来参与一项研究，以帮助人们更好地预测并且控制新冠病毒的蔓延。
纽约大学的一位副教授说，他们根据世界各地收集来的有关人们如何防范病毒的信息所做的研究，对预测人们面对健康警讯的行为可能有帮助。
What we wanted to do was get as many collaborators as we could around the world who were willing to collect representative samples. We wanted to see what predicts whether or not people are going to be engaging in social distancing, washing their hands, or also sharing high quality information as opposed to conspiracy theories.
杰伊·范贝维尔说，这些发现可能有助于决策者在隔离期间保护民众，同时继续努力防止经济崩溃。
Our goal is to work, as a complement to those medical health experts and give them the tools that they can use to communicate their messages more powerfully. We're not questioning or challenging them for one second. We're simply using what we can bring to the table to help them.
他说，这种数字化的开源方法很不寻常，全世界的科学家都已被邀请在一个集思广益的谷歌文档中合作，在最初的24小时内有50多个研究小组自愿参加。
What we're trying to do is use cooperation and get past some of the self-interest that normally dominate science, where everybody's fighting for credit and racing to get their study done first.
这项研究是基于范贝维尔和他的合作成员被自然期刊采用发表的一个研究。这个新研究不仅要吸引富裕国家的科学家们参与，它的目标是尽可能多地寻找参与者。资金充足的参与者还可以帮助那些资金相对不足的人。
We don't need to get 10,000 people in the US and meanwhile no people in other countries. What we want them to do is fund data collection in other countries around the world.Where we have people on the ground there who can do the translations and get the data.
这项研究的结果将以搜集数据的相同方式公布。
We are going to publish the data openly in a journal so that people who weren't involved with our project can immediately use it and start analyzing it and sharing it with other folks in other fields or with members of their government or members of their public where it's relevant.
他说，从这个大流行病的黑暗中可能会出现更好的科学方法和解决方案，为将来的危机提供帮助。美国之音贝托尼斯川克华盛顿报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。观众朋友们，大家好，今天是4月30号，星期四，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国的新冠病毒确诊病例已经超过100万。特朗普总统表示说，这是因为美国对病毒的检测数量和质量都领先全球。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
美国新型冠状病毒的确诊人数在4月28号突破了100万人，而在4月29号星期三，确诊人数现在是104万人，而死亡人数已经逼近6万人。特朗普总统在28号的时候在白宫表示，美国的病毒检测数量以及质量都是全世界最好的，超过了全世界加起来的总和。我们来看一下特朗普总统在白宫是怎么说的。
We are way ahead on testing. We are the best in the world on testing. We've tested much more than anybody else.Times two, or every country combined. We've tested more than every country combined, and they keep talking about South Korea. And I'm very friendly, as you know, with President Moon, who just had a great victory, a new victory, as we're very happy about. But he will tell you how well the United States has done on testing, and he told me that very strongly. The quality of our test is the best, and the number is the best. Now, with all of that being said, we will be going.To an even higher number, and it goes up exponentially, and I've told you that.
那特朗普总统星期二晚上呢，就在推特上推文强调说，今天美国的确诊病例之所以突过100万，是因为检测多。特朗普总统推文是这样说的，他说，美国新冠病毒确诊人数达到100万的唯一原因，是因为我们的检测比其他的世界各国好得太多，其他国家在检测方面比我们落后非常多，所以他们的确诊人数才那么的少。特朗普总统星期二在白宫会见小型企业主的时候还说呢，冠状病毒的病例在美国将会降到零病例。我们看一下特朗普总统在白宫是怎么说的。
Well, it will go down to zero ultimately. And you have to understand, when it comes to cases, we do much more testing than anybody else. So we could go to some of these other countries, you know, as an example, China. If you test, you're going to show many more cases. So we're testing, we're doing more testing than any other country in the world by far, which we just discussed over in the Oval Office. So we're going to show more cases because we're doing much, much more testing, double anybody else. Somebody said if you add everybody else combined,That would be a number, and it will be at the appropriate time. It will be down to zero, like we said.
不过，针对特朗普总统零病例的说法呢，美国过敏与传染病研究所所长佛契博士则是表示说，今天新冠病毒不但不会消失不见，甚至呢可能会在美国一直存在下去。我们看一下佛契博士在星期二的时候接受媒体采访是怎么说的。
If we are unsuccessful or prematurely try to open up.And we have additional outbreaks that are out of control, it could be much more than that. It could be a rebound to get us right back in the same boat that we were in a few weeks ago. So that's why we've really got to be careful and very circumspect as we go from a lockdown to a gradual rolling re-entry into some sort of normality. So it's not going to disappear from the planet.Which means as we get into next season, in my mind, it's inevitable that we will have a return of the virus, or maybe it never even went away. When it does, how we handle it will determine our fate. If by that time we have put into place all of the countermeasures that you need to address this, we should do reasonably well.If we don't do that successfully, we could be in for a bad fall and a bad winter.
而许多的肉品处理厂因为这个员工呢爆发了群聚的新冠病毒感染，不得已而关闭了工厂。那么这也引发了接下来可能会造成肉品短缺的担忧。特朗普总统在星期二的晚上签署了行政命令，来要求确保肉类的供应无缺。那在行政命令是这样说的，这个行政命令名字叫做依据国防生产法，因应新冠疫情造成的国家危机下的粮食供应链来源之行政命令。当中呢说，应本令赋予之权，农业部长应该采取适当的行动，确保肉类以及鸡类的处理商在符合美国疾病预防与管制中心还有职业安全以及健康署的指导方针之下继续运作，应本令赋予之权，在符合国防生产法101款 B 项的标准之下，农业部长可以指认额外的粮食供应链的来源。不过呢，我们知道对很多的美国的这个肉品加工厂 厂，包括史密斯菲尔德、卡尔吉利尔、泰森等等美国大型的肉类处理厂呢，都已经因为厂中的员工爆发了新冠病毒的群聚感染而关闭了大约20间的美国境内的工厂。因为在那么多员工生病的情况之下呢，在厂内很难或者是也不可能保持所谓的社交距离来避免更多人进行感染。那路透社的报道呢，有些农场主还认为特朗普总统签了这个行政命令是做得太少也来得太晚了，因为很多的猪只已经被安乐死了。而猪品的这个肉品的包装工业的工会也说，这个行政命令可能会致工人的生命跟健康暴露于风险之下。此外呢，根据美国移民局还有美国农业部历年来的统计，肉品加工业当中的工人大概有1/4以上都是无证的移民。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫前的报道。
美国两党多名重量级议员致函国务卿蓬佩奥，敦促他全面执行香港人权与民主法案，并且在国务院即将提交给国会的报告中全面反映出香港最近的事态发展。来看报道。
多名美国国会两党重量级参众两院议员星期二共同敦促美国国务卿蓬佩奥全面执行香港人权与民主法案。他们还表示，在提交给国会的报告中还应列举美国为应对这种不断恶化的局势需采取的具体行动。共同签署这封信函的包括美国国会及行政当局中国委员会共同主席共和党参议员卢比奥，以及委员会主席民主党众议员麦戈文、长期关注中国人权事务的共和党议员史密斯、众议院外交事务委员会主席恩格尔以及首席共和党人麦考尔，还有参议院外交关系委员会主席李施和首席民主党人梅嫩德斯等重量级议员。议员们在信中说，尽管新冠疫情阻碍了引起全世界关注的民主抗议，但是香港的局势在最近几个月里持续恶化。香港警方此前逮捕了大约15名香港民主派主要活动人士，其中包括民主党创党主席李柱铭、前法律界立法会委员吴霭仪以及壹传媒创办人黎智英等。信中接着说，香港的未来对美国和国际社会非常重要，如果不能解决北京为侵蚀香港自治所做的努力，将会破坏香港人民的自由和人权。香港作为美国伙伴所发挥的宝贵作用，以及香港在国际经济中的独特作用。议员们还表示，美国必须在应对北京对香港自治的威胁方面发挥领导作用。特朗普总统去年11月签署了《香港人权与民主法案》，使之成为法律。法案生效后，国务卿需向国会提交报告，审视香港是否仍然有足够的自治权，享受美国给予的特殊待遇，包括继续被视为独立关税区等。议员们希望提交给国会的报告将包含对香港自治的全面、清晰和准确的评估。美国之音新闻报道。
正当美中两国就新冠病毒相互指责的时候，中国声称美国的一艘军舰非法闯入了西沙群岛的中国领海，而美军则表示美国将继续依照国际法航行并且行动。我们来看美国之音记者李宝的报道。
中国国防部南部战区新闻发言人发表声明说，美国海军巴里号导弹驱逐舰未经允许非法闯入西沙领海，南部战区组织海空兵力全程跟踪监视并予以警告驱离。针对中国军方的声明，美国国防部发言人伊斯特伯恩中校在回应美国之音查询的时候说，美国将在国际法所允许的任何地方继续飞行、航行和活动。巴里号或称贝瑞号导弹驱逐舰是常驻日本横须贺美国军港、近来在西太平洋海域十分活跃的一艘伯克级驱逐舰。这艘军舰在过去3个星期里两度穿越台湾海峡。美国海军在发布相关消息时说，将贝瑞号导弹驱逐舰部署在第7舰队作战区域的前沿，是为了支持印太地区的安全与稳定。上星期五，五角大楼发言人霍夫曼说，如果美国海军不去南中国海行动，中国在那里的活动会更加嚣张。
I think the operating assumption would have to be that they would likely be more aggressive in their efforts to expand their geographic and naval presence in the region if we weren't there. I also think that the other important aspect is it's for our partners and allies in the region to see that we are committed.
上星期， 美国国务卿蓬佩奥指责中国当局利用全世界专注于应对新冠疫情的时机，对台湾军事施压，并胁迫他在南中国海的周边邻国，甚至还撞沉一艘越南渔船。美国强烈反对中国的霸凌行为。美国之音记者李宝，华盛顿报道。
最近，美军的战机在纽约和其他城市的上空进行了特别的表演，向应对新冠病毒疫情的医疗工作者致敬。来看报道。
几十年来，海军的蓝天使和空军的雷鸟编队以其特技飞行的翻转、回环和滚动吸引了观赏者。他们的喷气式战斗机是美国力量的超音速象征，其型号跟在叙利亚和阿富汗前线作战的军机是相同的。现在蓝天使和雷鸟多年来首次联合行动，携手呈现了名为美国强大行动的飞行表演，表达对医护人员和急救人员的敬意。我们看到的是布鲁尔上尉驾驶的雷鸟三号，就是领航战机右侧的首架战机。
What I'm thinking when I'm doing these flyovers is just really thank you. You know, you think a lot of times people thank us when you know we come back from a deployment because we're a frontline fighter, for the nation. Here, I think of it the exact same way. They're doing exactly the same thing. They are the frontline fighter against this invisible enemy.
他们的第一个目的地就是受新冠病毒打击最严重的城市纽约。
So maybe by doing this, maybe we can hopefully send a message of, we can do this together and you're not alone.
戴维瑞安从新泽西州隔着哈德逊河观看对岸的飞行表演。
Brings out the spirit of the country and to help all the healthcare workers just give them something to think about everybody's thinking about them.And they're really appreciated.
Hands down, I'll be thinking about my brother-in-law, who's a first responder in Arizona. My hat's off to them all the time because what they do and they experience and what they see every single day, would be really rough for me to do.
战机特技飞行员们计划在未来几天里为全国各地，包括首都华盛顿的医护人员表演更多的双重三角编队飞行，向他们致敬。美国之音记者巴布，华盛顿报道。
纽约市的一个游戏公司最近开发了一款以美国的顶尖传染病学家福奇医生而命名的免费游戏，它也是一个筹款的活动，款项将捐给纽约市的医院。
这是大流行病时代的电子游戏，游戏里的数码传奇英雄除了美国流行病专家安东尼福奇博士外不做第二人想。这位79岁的新冠病毒特别工作小组成员被重新塑造成一个新星系的守护者。
He's this like cyberpunk superhero that can blast lasers out of his eyes, kind of like an X-Men Superman type.
在福气的复仇游戏中，玩家摧毁病毒，同时培养良好的健康和社交隔离的习惯。游戏是纽约客亚历克斯·帕特森的创意。
During the game, icons drop from the top of the screen. Good ones are things like hand washing, hand sanitizer, solo meditation. You capture those to earn more life in the game. And then there are bad things that you need to shoot, like crowds, going to the club, stadiums.
这个游戏是一个叫做击败病毒的线上筹款活动的一部分。帕特森和他的打败炸弹创业公司希望筹集到$25,000，通过纽约市的联合保健系统来支援当地的公立医院。
You're always looking for the silver lining as a startup entrepreneur to try to make the best of the situation.
福气的复仇游戏为了呼应病毒的名字2019冠状病毒病，因此有19个等级。即将举行的在线竞赛将奖励顶级玩家，奖品是一个高级耳机。帕特森说，玩游戏可以发泄情绪。
Because you get to sort of mash the keys on your keyboard and blast the coronavirus, this thing that you can't see, you can't smell, you can't touch, that we're all shuttered indoors because of.
这是报复当前全民公敌的一个方法。美国之音记者郑蒂娜，纽约报道。
还在使用旧版的手机应用程序吗？美国之音新版应用程序上线了，界面更友好，内容更丰富，支持苹果和安卓客户端，适用于手机及各类平板电脑。旧版程序于1月15日正式下线，快去免费下载新版本吧。
新冠疫情让许多小商业遭受了严重的打击，不过许多业主也在灵活应变，以度过难关。位于华盛顿特区的罗盘咖啡就将设备改造，开始生产消毒洗手液。我们来看美国之音记者卡拉和王平的报道。
Michael and I actually became friends in the Marines. We were infantry platoon commanders, and people don't really know this, but the military runs on coffee.
We were just drinking, military coffee in Afghanistan, and when we came back from deployment, we're both from Washington, D.C., and we said, hey, you know, it'd be fun to start a coffee roasting business together. And that was about 6 years ago, and now we have 12 locations in D.C.
We have thousands of customers who come in each day. COVID-19 has been devastating. We've had to temporarily close half of our cafes. We had to put a lot of those plans on hold. We had to pause construction. We had to unfortunately lay off a significant number of our team.
Business is down about 80% right now. The spring is a great season for us. Normally, it's our customers come in, we know their names, they're coming in to get a cup of coffee.And that's gone right now.
What's the next step? What's the path forward? How do we make sure that there's still Compass Coffee for when COVID-19 passes, we can rebuild? If you look around, this is where we bottle all of the syrup, the vanilla syrup, the chocolate syrup, the chai syrup that goes into the drinks that we serve in our cafes.So here we are, we're surrounded by all of this equipment. It's pretty cool that we're repurposing it to make sanitizer.
There was a huge shortage here in Washington, D.C., and there was literally nobody making it. And the D.C. mayor, Mayor Bowser, reached out to us, and she actually asked if we could repurpose some of our equipment to make hand sanitizer for the D.C. government. So our first major order was 1,000 gallons of sanitizer.That we delivered to the DC government.
It's actually transferable. In a lot of ways, production, no matter what you're producing, follows the same key processes. But the WHO, the World Health Organization, has actually published a guide for local producers to make hand sanitizer, which has been very helpful in learning how to make it correctly.
We started making hand sanitizer about March 15th.Every day we make about 2,400 bottles, and basically at the end of the day, that's gone. It's already on a truck, and it's going to our customers. We've bought some new equipment, and we're buying even more. We have a new labeling machine coming, which is very exciting. We're hoping that it'll be a profitable endeavor here in a few months as sales continue to grow. Hand sanitizer is 100% keeping Compass afloat.Before this, we had 190 employees. We've had to lay off 80% of people, so we're down to a team of 39 people. And hand sanitizer is about a third to a half of that. And so every day, this is making a huge impact on our company and on Washington, D.C.
At a personal level, having something to accomplish every day, to wake up, get dressed, and come to work, is very meaningful. But it's even more meaningful to be doing it to support your neighbors, support the healthcare staff who are in hospitals, keeping people as healthy as they can, keeping people alive. So it feels very rewarding. And I think looking back on this time in the future, we'll know that we did our part for our community.
Like so many other businesses, we've completely had to change our plans, and we've completely had to modify the way that we think about what we do and the role that we play in the community.That's why we're making sanitizer. We're modifying our model to be much more focused on to-go. Yesterday morning, we launched delivery. It's really about the team finding a way to meet our customers where they are, solve problems, and still carry out our mission of making people's days better.
Without a doubt, we're 100% going to survive.
接下来 我们再一起去看一看，同样是小商业，华盛顿特区附近的一家书店的两位华人业主如何在危机中保持乐观。他们除了设法获得政府的资助，还在探索新的经营方式。
一个梦就是说我们想交朋友，很多人都会有一个开一个小咖啡馆的梦嘛，然后开书店吧也是一种有情怀的事情。
上面是一个 cafe， 楼下是一个 open space， 你可以 host 自己的 event。 那 Barnes & Noble 都在倒闭，那凭什么我们说一个小书店我们可以自己靠卖书来存活下去？不太可能，对吧？最确定的一件事情就是以食养书，就是靠做食物啊，做吃的。
如果说不是碰到了就是现在这个疫情的这样一个影响的话，其实我们的经营状况是越来越好的。
到三月份的时候，我们期待应该是回暖的，但是反而进入了一个更糟糕的一个寒冬。整条街，这条是 Main Street 嘛，主街的话其实正常是很热闹的。然后我们这条 Main Street 上呢，就说是各种各样的小型企业都有，比如说那个修鞋的店，那基本上这个影响是非常非常大的。
都好看吧，
首先是那个 PPP 的 program 是肯定申请了，
可以，
就那个 Paycheck Protection Program，
我手机在
这，就是如果你拿去付的是像员工的 payroll 或者是这些什么 healthcare 啊之类的，它是可能是可以不用还的嘛。当时一下出来的时候是看到一个链接就点进去申请了再说，对啊，马里兰政府当时发的那个也申请了。
樊登书店华盛顿一号店的店里面给大家做这一场美食的直播，所有进来的
疫情当前的时候，就是大家的心里面都有很多焦虑跟恐惧吧。那有些人可能就是会抱怨啊，对吗？会逃避啊，这是很正常的，对吗？那有些人就可能化压力为动力去做这个事情。书店的自救就是我们书店开始了做一个美食团购。
今天我们会现场给大家看哈，这个鳗鱼真的是非常好，
对，
这个酱汁真的是非常好。
这个以我们书店为圆心，30迈以内的一个辐射范围。
今天呢，我们会三个人一起吃，所以我们做的量呢，1块钱一个哈，
限购。我们
如果什么都不做的话，4、5月可能差不多了，就估计就有点难了，因为真的是很难。但是我们现在的话，这个线上啊，包括我们这些外卖的平台自己去开放啊，那如果真的要到8月15的话也可以吧。
天灾自然灾害总是会过去的，这个你50年也好100年也好，爆发一次总得要过去，所以我觉得人嘛，你还是要积极乐观的去看它。
在新冠疫情的阴影之下，美国的失业率不断攀升，而失去了工作的外籍劳工如果不在短时间内找到新的雇主，就有可能面临被遣返的危险。我们来看美国之音记者文浩的报道。
新冠疫情在美国爆发后，低迷的经济导致许多外籍劳工被企业裁员。法律规定，这些劳工除非找到新雇主，否则将失去在美国的合法身份，而且必须在60天内离开美国。但现今各国大多处于封闭状态，且航班禁飞，这让许多外籍劳工面临无处可去的困境。外籍劳工如果在美国非法滞留太久，有可能在长达10年内都无法再次入境美国。而如果在没有合法身份的情况下继续工作，一旦被发现，将立刻被遣返。疫情爆发后，美国移民局迟迟没有延长60天的缓冲期，让外籍劳工和他们的律师没有足够的时间做出调整。就此，美国移民律师协会已经将移民局告上了法庭，要求他们立刻颁布新政策。有移民律师表示，美国政坛在移民问题上的分歧导致新政策出台缓慢。
Right now, I don't think we're going to see any new laws because we have a very divided country when it comes to immigration. So I don't, our president is not pro-immigration, even legal immigration. We have members of Congress who are, we have members of Congress who aren't.It's a hard thing.
这位移民律师还表示，新政策出台的程序极其繁琐，有时会花上长达几年的时间，所以在短期内看到新政策出台的可能性极其渺茫。此外，美国行政当局还颁布了总统令，禁止一些绿卡的办理，并表示可能会在移民问题上出台更多限制措施。有专家表示，现在失业率居高不下，限制外国人来到美国工作有一定道理，但从长远来看，美国的经济复苏和增长都离不开移民。
Big part of portion of our farm workers come on temporary visas, and right now it's really important for them to be able to grow and harvest the crops that keep all of us fed. So there are some contradictory arguments around temporary workers. Over the longer term, the United States will rely on immigration to continue to grow its economy. Right now, the only thing that keeps our workforce growing, our working age population growing, is immigration. It's immigrants and their children. Lacking that, we would actually see our working age population to decline.
以上是美国之音记者文浩发自华盛顿的报道。
纽约大学的一位副教授呼吁全世界的社会科学家一起来参与一项研究，以帮助人们更好地预测并且控制新冠病毒的蔓延。
纽约大学的一位副教授说，他们根据世界各地收集来的有关人们如何防范病毒的信息所做的研究，对预测人们面对健康警讯的行为可能有帮助。
What we wanted to do was get as many collaborators as we could around the world who are willing to collect representative samples. We wanted to see what predicts whether or not people are going to be engaging in social distancing, washing their hands, or also sharing high quality information as opposed to conspiracy theories.
杰伊范贝维尔说，这些发现可能有助于决策者在隔离期间保护民众，同时继续努力防止经济崩溃。
Our goal is to work, as a complement to those medical health experts and give them the tools that they can use to communicate their messages more powerfully. We're not questioning or challenging them for one second. We're simply using what we can bring to the table to help them.
他说这种数字化的开源方法很不寻常，全世界的科学家都已被邀请在一个集思广益的谷歌文档中合作，在最初的24小时内有50多个研究小组自愿参加。
What we're trying to do is use cooperation and get past some of the self-interest that normally dominate science, where everybody's fighting for credit and racing to get their study done first.
这项研究是基于范贝维尔和他的合作成员被《自然》期刊采用发表的一个研究。这个新研究不仅要吸引富裕国家的科学家们参与，它的目标是尽可能多地寻找参与者。资金充足的参与者还可以帮助那些资金相对不足的人。
We don't need to get 10,000 people in the U.S. and meanwhile no people in other countries. What we want them to do is fund data collection in other countries around the world.Where we have people on the ground there who can do the translations and get the data.
这项研究的结果将以搜集数据的相同方式公布。
We are going to publish the data openly in a journal so that people who weren't involved with our project can immediately use it and start analyzing it and sharing it with other folks in other fields or with members of their government or members of their public where it's relevant.
他说，从这个大流行病的黑暗中，可能会出现更好的科学方法和解决方案，为将来的危机提供帮助。美国之音贝托尼斯川克华盛顿报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。